What's up, ODs and eyewear lovers? We're talking the latest trends in tech and eye care, so sit back, relax, and defocus.
Hey everybody, welcome to this week's edition of the Defocus podcast. We've got a really special guest and friend of the podcast on the show today. This is Dr. Arian Fartash, better known as her alter ego, the glam optometrist. Dr. Fartash, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Absolutely, I'm excited.
I'm here with Daryl, as usual. How are you doing today, Daryl?
Life is good. How about yourself, Jen?
Very well, very well. We've got a really fun podcast planned today because Dr. Fartash is one of the biggest, I would say you're the biggest social media star in optometry right now. You've got over 11,000 followers on your Instagram account. And what I really love about what you do is you talk about optometry on your account. You don't just use it as a fashion blog. So we really appreciate what you're doing for the world of optometry. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Okay. Thank you for that, Jen. It's been a lot of fun doing the Instagram and getting to meet new friends like you and Daryl and connecting like that. So I graduated in 2010 from SCCO, and I've been working since. I work at private practice, nursing home facilities, and also retail setting. Doing all of those things has allowed me to learn a lot of different practices that we can do in optometry. Makes me a better practitioner and businesswoman when I'm able to experience so much. Also, I don't know if you guys know, but my mom is an optometrist. I call her the original glam optometrist. and she's helped me become the doctor I am today. She's, since the beginning, looked over my charts, commented, although it was really annoying to have your mom like look over your homework almost. I've become a better refractionist, better contact lens fitter. It's just nice to have someone there in the real world versus when you're in school, someone looking over your shoulder. And so from there, I think it was January, I started the Instagram. And that's where I met you guys.
So it's really remarkable. You started Instagram basically at the beginning of 2017. You've amassed 11,000 plus followers. How did you decide I want to go onto Instagram?
So I'm not into technology whatsoever. I don't have a Facebook or, anything like that. But I love to look at pictures. So Instagram is kind of like a visual storytelling type thing. And I love fashion and I love cooking. So I would look at, different things that related to food or fashion. And I said, why can't I do this? Why can't I start doing something in fashion? I started thinking as well as, okay, glasses is fashion. And I started posting just pictures of myself initially. And some of my friends told me, well, why don't you put some optometry in there and like break it up a little bit? And I said, that's a great idea because no one has done that yet, really. Combine everything that we do all in one account. So I started putting like quotes or different glasses or putting some advice out. And it's great to see my followers engaging. That's the best part is people who are not in our field are commenting or asking questions or giving me their opinions. And it's nice to hear that from people all over the world. So I think it's a great, great avenue for optometrists to get their voice out there. Make it seem cool,
Absolutely. And I think, that's what you do such a great job of. And maybe Instagram is the very best platform for us to engage with non-optometrists because on Twitter and on Facebook to a certain extent, I know I'm really prone to, I'll share oh, new study published, this data point about diabetic retinopathy. The average person, unfortunately, or just realistically, they don't really care or understand or is too technical. But how you post and how you engage with them is very much like I'm not doctor to patient relationship. It's like a friend to friend relationship. And it opens up the door to viewing optometry as like a friendlier or more open profession.
Mm-hmm, exactly. I just want to show the world that in addition to us optometrists being smart, we're cool, we're modern, we're hip, kind of get us out of that stereotype.
So it's no doubt that you're a rock star when it comes to Instagram, but let's break down more of your formula, or what tips do you have for those that are just jumping into the world of Instagram?
For anyone trying to get started on Instagram, they have to remember that it's visual. So you want to post things that catch the eye. And also you want to create a brand and build your posts around that. So for optometry, you know, you could brand yourself as a doctor. You can brand your office, or if you have a product like a pair of a glasses brand, or, you know, some kind of eye drops or whatever, that would be your brand. And you want to build the pictures around that. And you want to have a primary focus on your page that always refers back to your brand. For example, your brand could be your optometry office. You'll want to post visuals that are relevant to what your office offers. And you don't want to post anything about your own life or your staff, really, but the actual office and what the office can give its patients. So you can post pictures of frames of different contact lenses, advice. You know, you can post pictures of yourself and your staff, but not too much. You want it to be more about the office. Otherwise, also you want to make a connection with your patients. It's free advertising, really. So to make that connection, you can get patients to walk into your office without having to spend thousands of dollars on different kinds of outside media or flyers, things like that. And then as far as hashtags, there's some popular apps out there that will tell you what are the best, you know, hashtags to do that are going to get the most likes for that. And it's called Tags for Likes. And you can download that on any smartphone or iPad.
So that app just basically tells you, like, week to week or day to day, like, what's the hottest hashtag that'll getting the most, that will get you the most engagement.
Usually it's week. Yeah, it's week to week. And then when you go on it as well, it'll say what's the most popular, what's related to nature, animals. Usually if you just do popular, it's going to be the best. And then add in, you know, optometry and glasses and eyes too on top of that.
So have you found one hashtag that seems to create more engagement or more likes or produce more followers?
Hashtags, I think when you're starting out, is going to help the most. And the best one was glasses, because I would go on to the hashtag glasses and I would start liking people, and they would like back or say, oh, hey, this is kind of a cool page related back to something that they may like, which is glasses. So another way to engage followers or get more followers is to have common interest with them. And the hashtag does just that. It kind of puts two people together who have a commonality.
Yeah, I think you mentioned something really important there, in that it's one thing just to hashtag it, but if you don't go and engage with other people on the hashtag, they're probably not going to ever look and follow you. And that's what's so time consuming about social media, is you really do have to engage with people to build your own followers. You have done like a really good job of that. You comment on almost everything. I'll sometimes be on other people's pages and notice you've left them a comment, and it's just very impressive.
It is very time consuming. My husband hates it. He's always like, you're on the phone all the time.
I mean, just ballpark, how many hours do you feel like you might spend just like casually Instagramming?
A lot. So I do it in between patients. So I admit, I do it at work. I do it at home when I get home from work, in the morning when I wake up. And I started off by just posting one pic a day. However, research shows that if you post 2 to 3 times a day, you get more involvement and get more followers, because they you're relevant. You know, you're always in their feed. That's even more time consuming.
So how do you generate these pictures? Do you make most of your photos or most of your pictures, or are you using stock photos, or what's your method?
So half and half. Half the pictures I take myself, and I'll make my own quotes and use different apps to do that. Then the other half, I'll find them from similar pages, or people will tag me in them as well. And I always give credit, you know, when it's coming from someone, if it's their original post. Pinterest has great ones as well. Again, like if you have a theme, which ours would be glasses, and you hashtag something relevant to glasses, all this stuff is going to pop up and you can use that. It doesn't always have to be your own. So, and you can write your own little messages on there that relate back to you. But I always try to tag the person, though. You want to give them credit.
That's also like just a really great way too of, again, gaining them as followers, kind of like recognizing them. You tag them in that photo that they produce and be like, oh, I really like this. It shows that you, it's kind of like calling up someone to be their friend. I don't know. It's a good engaging strategy.
It is. And then once you tag them and they like your picture, you're going to show up in their feed and then their followers are going to see your picture. It's all kind of confusing, but the more exposure you have, the better.
So let's talk a little bit more about the followers. When you first got started, did you just instantly overnight get hundreds and thousands of people following you? I mean, how did this process take place?
Initially, it started out maybe every week I was getting a few hundred because I was putting a lot more hours in. And then you kind of get a dry spell. So during that time, I would just tag a lot of people in my pictures, start engaging more and commenting on other people's pictures more. And then once I would say it got past 9,000 or 10,000 followers, I didn't have to try as hard.
So talk to us a little bit about how you're engaging your followers, kind of the general public, in mm-hmm. optometry conversations.
Sure. So for instance, like this morning, I posted a picture of a pillow, cute pillow that said good morning. And then I wrote a quick tip, sleeping on silk pillows reduces wrinkles around the eyes. And then you'll see a lot of people said, oh my gosh, I never knew that. Like, I'm going to go get my silk pillows, you know? That's more of a vague one. Or another tip was use diluted dish soap to clean your glasses. And then I went on to explain how and why that works really well. And people loved it. People said, wow, I didn't know that either. You know, I'm going to go try that. Also different glasses that I post. They want to know where they can get it. They want to know where they could buy it and would it fit their prescription. Again, those are general public. Those aren't people in our field, which is pretty cool. Because I never knew before coming on Instagram that there's so many different vendors out there, not just, you know, Luxottica or Marchand. Very great, great companies that are like smaller, but produce such great frames that they need these exposures too. So we can provide that as optometrists for the small mom and pop places. That's good too.
I also, you know, I've seen some really amazing discussion on your comment pages, like contact lens brands. I mean, just think about what that means to the average person to have somebody who's an optometrist talking about like Daily's Total One or My Day. And they're like, what are all these new lenses? No, I've mm-hmm. never, I've been wearing Acuvue Oasis for the past 10 years. Like, it's very, very exciting, I think, to engage those people with new products, new things that we're doing, new eyewear brands, like what you're saying, and create just this idea that we offer something different than that same thing they've been getting for the last decade in eye care.
Exactly. They don't know what's out there, just as sometimes we don't know what's out there, you know, because we're not educated about it enough. So having a platform that is able to reach thousands and thousands of people all over the world for you to educate and put it out there is wonderful, and have them discuss it and have them ask questions.
So where do you draw the line? Because I know it's so hard in social media because people interact and engage with you if you let them in. But where do you personally feel like you draw the line on how much you want to share about your personal self?
Good question. So I never write where I work just because I don't have my own practice. So I don't want people, you know, looking me up and also bothering the offices, because I've had some patients call one of my offices and say, hey, I saw this brand of glasses on her page. Can you tell me if you guys carry it? They don't, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, as far as personal, I think that you don't want to put too much up, obviously, about your relationship or things like that, or where you live, per se, because there could be some creepers. Should be more vague about personal things.
I know exactly what you mean by that creeper situation. I've had a few encounters myself, so I always have my guard up 100% of the time. Now, with the Glam Optometrist brand being so successful, I've noticed I've started seeing you in more optometric magazines. Tell us more about some of the opportunities that you have within the industry.
Sure. So I've written so far 1, 2, 3 articles for optometry magazines, and the topics range from social media to how to engage with your patients and practice management ideas. When coming out in January, I believe one of the magazines is doing a feature. So it's pretty cool. I like to be a part of our profession. Whereas when I was in optometry school, I wasn't so much gung-ho about, you know, interacting with other ODs because I was more shy. So this is a great way.
The power of the internet.
The power of the internet to hide behind your computer, I guess. But it's given me a voice in our profession, whereas before I was too shy or didn't have, you know, didn't think I had enough experience to really say something. But now I realize that I could help people and I could learn from people. I love talking to other optometrists. They'll DM me and ask me questions, or if I don't know something, I'll DM them. Also, a lot of people outside of optometry will DM me questions about their eyes.
Isn't that always so surprising? I mean, not a day goes by. I'm sure you're the same way because you've got a ton more followers than me, that I don't get a question or an email about my eyes red today. What should I do? I'm always just like, well, you should really see a doctor. But it's just a prime example of, there's this statistic about how something crazy like 80% of people seek medical advice online first. Mm-hmm. And I'm just glad they're seeking medical advice from medical professionals online.
Yes, instead of scaring themselves with Wikipedia or WebMD. That's a really nice tool to have because you're reaching people outside of your hometown who maybe, again, are too shy to go and ask someone this question, or, you know, maybe they've been overusing their contacts and they don't want to tell their regular optometrist and they come and ask you a question. So I think especially for millennials, it's a great tool to be on the internet, to be on Instagram and, you know, have them ask you questions.
It's definitely, I think in our generation, it's one of the fastest ways to that. Not only are we establishing ourselves as practitioners, but growing the value for the practices in which we work, because these are people who, if they weren't getting engaged on their platform in their ways, they might be the people who were worried about who would bypass eye care altogether. And they're going to have plenty of opportunity to do so with online apps. So I think this, people like yourself who've been so successful in engaging patients online, are really the best defense that optometry has against a future where people kind of avoid going to the eye doctor.
I completely agree with you. It's a nice thing about technology. You know, it could be a double-edged sword, but this is the nice part of it. Getting patients to talk, getting them to come see you. I don't say come see me. I say go see your local optometrist.
Right. These might be people halfway around the world in other countries that are asking for advice, and you're just directing them to the right local person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the importance of it, the importance of eye care. Also, diseases. You know, they may not know macular degeneration is hereditary, or, you know, smoking is a risk factor, such and such. So it's good to be able to put it out there and then make them think about it.
Right. So I also have seen you recently did kind of almost like a celebrity appearance, I guess, at a recent trunk show for Oakland Vision Center. How was that? I mean, did people in the community recognize you? What was that experience like?
It was a lot of fun. I love Dr. Gill. I call her my mentor. I'm actually going to be working with her starting the new year. That, and we connected from Instagram. So it's another, you know, relationship that was made. But it was a very cool experience in the fact that I got to see how another office works and what they do to promote eyewear and eye health, as well as when patients came in, you know, they would introduce me as, oh, this is glam optometrist. So they would go on their phones, you know, we're millennials, we're always attached to our phones. So they go on our phones. I'm like, wow, you have so many followers, you know? I don't know if that gives credibility at all or not, but they were pretty, they liked it. They're like, cool, you know, you're my doctor. So that was nice to see. Like I said, I don't really advertise where I work. So I don't know how my personal patients would react to it. So it was a nice way to see how they do. And it goes to say that when you're in office on Instagram and you find your patients from there, they have a lot more respect for you.
Right. I think they feel like already that they're a part of your family, mm-hmm. because they know you, they've seen your inner workings. That's kind of, Instagram is like the window in. So they already feel like they have a personal relationship with you even before they come through your door in real life.
Exactly. Yes, you nailed it on the head.
So you've been riding a wave of success for the entire 2016. What's next for Glam Optometrist in 2017?
For 2017, I'm going to be doing a quarterly write-up for a new, magazine coming out for optometry. And then I would love to do talks. That's one thing that I think we could do to help the non-millennial optometrists, because they're not going to come on social media. And if we are able to talk to them and share to them our story about how you can reach so many more people by using it, they'd be more apt to do it, I guess. Or if they have questions, they can ask right then and there.
I completely agree with you. We're really hopeful. Daryl and I are really excited. We're having the opportunity to do a lecture on social media with the Vision Council at Vision Expo East. So we're hoping that we're seeing a trend within the industry to let young doctors have a voice at some of these meetings. I know nobody wants to go and hear me talk about glaucoma 5 years out of school. But social media, that might be something that I really can of value talk to you about. So I think we're going to see a turning tide where before, I feel like doctors in our generation, we were just kind of given a bad rap. And now people are recognizing like, oh, there's something to what they're doing.
Yeah. And it's like an older OD hiring a younger OD. They bring a lot more to the practice that hasn't been seen in a while. So that's how it is in these lectures too. Like, oh, who's this person? You know, they're so young. What do they have to say? Kind of a thing.
Right. Instead of they're so young, what could they possibly have to say?
Yeah, exactly.
But no, so it's very exciting. I definitely think you're going to get speaking opportunities. So it's a great thing that we've got a platform now, and there's so many different platforms. But I feel like this new generation of optometry has embraced all possible platforms of communicating with patient care, whether it's intro eyes with video platform, podcasting, blogging, Instagramming, Snapchat. Like, everybody's doing something that's a little bit different to reach out to people. And our connection with the public as a whole, I feel like we have more touch points than ever before. Mm-hmm. So it is a very exciting time in optometry.
Definitely. And I love seeing you all, you know, on Instagram and watching the videos and hearing the advice. And I just love it. I think it's great. And it's a great way for all of us to communicate together and feed ideas off each other.
So I want to focus a little bit more on the eyewear. You definitely have earned the title Glam Optometrist, because every pair of glasses that I see you in, you look stunning. There's no doubt about it. But I see you in a lot of different pairs. But what's your main go-to? What's your eyewear of choice right now?
I'm really obsessed with my Golden Wood glasses. I don't know if you guys are familiar with them.
You've gotten real fancy since I talked to you last. That's awesome.
they're great. They're beautiful. And the craftsmanship on them is insane. They know every single person by name who makes their glasses. I got a little bit of a history from them, which was neat. And it's literally made of wood. The wood paneling on them is beautiful. Those are my favorite pair right now. And then also iFunk. I don't know if you've heard of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, very comfortable. Love them too. Been wearing them. And I mean, I love my Chanel sunglasses and Tom Ford's. I know they're not private or small, but they're nice as well.
So because of your popularity on Instagram, have you had brands, you know, even outside of eye care that have reached out to you about advertising or sponsoring with them?
Yes, they'll either email me or they'll DM me asking me to try out their glasses. They'll send me some free pairs. And if I like them, then they'll ask if I can post them or give them a shout out. We've done giveaways as well together, which have worked out nicely for both brands. It's just promoting each other. And then also I want to say Transitions has also come forward and they wanted to work together. I'm trying to think who else. iFunk has. That's how I came to know them because they're awesome.
So it's so exciting that like these brands within our industry recognize the influence that you have over people as far as like being a trendsetter or a person that people look
to I think
for style
great.
Or fashion or real eye care advice.
Fashion bloggers, that's how different brands promote themselves now is through them, really. And so why not have our industry be a part of that?
What do you think is the next big thing in social media? I mean, that's so hard to predict. I ask myself this question all the time because I feel like I'm always like the last to jump on a platform. So I'm always like, what's next? What do you feel like is the next thing that your younger followers or your, you know, more on the nose followers seem to be doing?
I do foresee like virtual reality becoming big soon. Yeah, like a 3D thing, you know, coming out at you at your phone.
Really interesting.
a lot of other things actually on that is, you know, like a Snapchat. They have Snapchat basically for Instagram, or they'll have, I think they're going to start doing live chatting on Instagram. So that, I think that's going to be neat. Again, it just takes so much time with all the different stuff that's available through social media. That's why a lot of people end up quitting their day jobs and just doing that, because it just takes up a volume of their time.
That's always this. That part's hard for me. It's easy for Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I think as a business, those are so accessible. But when it comes to like live chatting and Snapchatting, things like that, it's hard not to share personal things, or because you're putting so much of yourself out there. It's your facial expressions and your voice and where you're standing at the moment, and it can be very difficult for someone who wants to separate work and personal life to use those platforms appropriately. So I think it's going to create a lot of new challenges. If older generation doctors were not into social media before,
I really don't think they'll be too thrilled about doing live posts. You know, again, becoming too personal with people you don't know. It could also be a little dangerous, so you have to be careful.
But I agree with you. That's where I feel like we might be entering a future where everything has been so... Basically, regular human beings like you and me have felt a need to make ourselves look like magazine pictures because that's what connected with people. Mm-hmm. So I like have to edit my photos, turn up the whites, increase the brightness. Like I have to edit everything so that it looks right. And now everyone instead, I think, is making the shift towards they want real, but then you have to like be real with all your warts too, which is a lot more vulnerable to share.
Yes, yes, you're right. Since a lot of the stuff is, like you said, edited because you want it to look nice so someone will recognize it and, you know, tap on it, is a lot different than, hey, I'm here, I'm alive, and I have wrinkles, and, you know, I don't have perfect eye, whatever. It's a lot different. So you can hear their voice. I know. I know sometimes when I hear someone's voice on social media, I'm like, oh.
So it's a whole new challenge that we're gonna face. We'll just all have to copy Daryl's voice.
I know, his smooth operator voice.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you so much.
He should do radio for sure.
So thank you so much for sharing with us your thoughts about how optometry stands in social media today and the future of social media. We've got so much that's going to change, probably even another 6 months. I mean, think about how different your life is from January 2016 to here December 2016. It's like a totally different world of optometry for you.
Yeah.
So it's very exciting how fast things are going in our industry right now. And who knows what tomorrow will bring.
I agree with you. I definitely agree. I do want to mention one thing real quick.
Sure.
I've been lucky enough to only be a part of positive things on social media. And I know a lot of times there's negativity when it's really easy for people to write negative things, even to our own peers. And I think that we should all support each other instead of question each other. And you and Daryl definitely seem to support everybody, and I really appreciate that about you guys.
Absolutely, and thank you for your kind words. You know, one of the main reasons why Jen and I created the Defocus Media podcast was to help propel the profession. So we wanted to create a platform where we could have dialogue with various eye care professionals and talk about the tough issues and do it in a respectful manner. I just want to thank you again for being a part of the Defocus Media podcast, and we wish you a glamorous 2017. Okay, it's a wrap. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to hang out with Defocus Media. We hope something resonated with you today. Please subscribe to our podcast, and remember, we keep it 2020 around here, pun intended. We look forward to seeing you next time.